Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. We'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220. The Word, I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. We have a special guest who's going to be joining us in just a few minutes. And also, if you were listening in the last half hour, I had opportunity to fill in for Pastor Lutz on his program for the Cause of Christ. And hopefully, some of what we talked about there will set the stage a little bit if you listen to that for our program today. But before we get to all of that, just want to remind you that you can check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find past programs there, some articles and things that I've written, and there's some other materials, as well as a link to our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, and certainly invite you to come out and visit. We have our Bible study tonight, 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock, and you can join us there. It's an informal Bible study. You bring the questions, and it's about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, and we have refreshments and everything. And then, of course, we have our regular services on Sunday, and we'll have more information about that at the end of the program. But and check out all that online at livewithpastoral.com. Well, I want to introduce our special guest today. We have James Simpson, and he's an economist, an investigative journalist, businessman, author. He's run for Congress. He's had columns published in a variety of things, American Thinker, Breitbart, Daily Caller, The Federalist, Washington Times, and he worked in the White House, I believe, even, and we'll let him tell some more about that. But most recently, the author of a book, Who Was Karl Marx? The Men, the Motives, and the Menace Behind Today's Rampaging American Left. Jim Simpson, welcome to the program today.
Hey, Pastor Al, great to be with you.
Hey, it's great to have you back again. We've talked about some other things, your other books dealing with the red-green axis and things of that nature. But I was excited to get this book, Who Was Karl Marx, and to read it. I think that everybody listening ought to get a copy of this book, so we'll have you tell how to do that in just a minute. But glad to have you on the program today. And if there's anything you want to share about your background that I didn't cover on some of that, but glad to have you.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I think you did a pretty good job of covering it. Thank you very much for the introduction, actually.
Well, I appreciate that. And again, like I said, I appreciate the book. And what prompted you to write this book?
Well, you know, I mean, everything that's going on, I've studied communism and communist strategies for 30 years, over 30 years. And I actually realized what was going on in our country back in the 1980s when I first really got interested in this and basically did a one-year self-funded research project to find out what it was that captivated so many people about communism. Because, you know, there were Central American and South American nations that were ramping up to become communist countries. You know, the biggest at the time was El Salvador and Nicaragua. And, you know, I knew from just basic economics, which was my background, that socialism cannot work. It's not a matter of whether it works better or worse than free market capitalism. It does not work. It cannot work. And, in fact, the great secret of communism and socialism and how they have survived and even thrived to this point is that basically we've been paying for it. The capitalist nations have been basically financing their own destruction. And those nations, those communist nations, couldn't survive for 6 months without the support that they've gotten from the West. And so what's the great attraction? Why would anybody be attracted? And I realized, first of all, what they were doing, which made me sleepless for 3 nights, and then why? And why is very simple. They're absolutely bottomlessly greedy for wealth and power, and that's it. And they discovered that the communist game plan, communist strategies, and the communist marketing plan is diabolically ingenious for inserting these people into power and keeping them there. All they have to do is jettison any and all the ethics they ever had. And so it's really a demonic movement. And it's a movement, you know, that really calls to people as Satan did in the garden, "You shall be as God."
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about.
Well, and
so I decided that I had to write it this year because it all came out of the woodwork. And I'd actually studied and written much of this over a number of years, but I had not published it. So I took those parts that I thought were relevant, and then I updated and added a bunch of new material and actually, you know, published that pretty quickly because I felt it was absolutely critical to get that information out to our nation. And as you just said, other people have said, I was on with Glenn Beck this week and last week, he said every person in the country should read this book because it tells everything about what is happening, why it's happening, how we got here, and then most importantly, what we have to do to work ourselves out of it.
Well, and we're talking with James Simpson, author of Who is Karl Marx, here today on the program. And when we're looking at this book, and like I said, I agree, everybody should read this book, get a copy of it. But you asked the question, who was Karl Marx? And if you could give a synopsis of him, how did we get from him? What motivated him? And I know this is kind of hard to put all this in just a couple of minutes, but from Marx to Biden, how did that happen?
Well, like I said, you know, Marx is a personality type.
Mm-hmm.
In his own personal life, he was one of the most greediest people on earth. He was selfish. He was absolutely arrogant. In fact, one of his fellow leftists called him up to dirt and madness. He was so full of pride that he would tolerate you if you worshipped him. And the thing about it, he's a personality type. He was mm-hmm. greedy, selfish. He never really worked. He didn't understand a thing about capitalism. He never darkened the doors of a factory. One day in his life, he had no interaction with the working class. In fact, the proletariat, which he claimed he wanted to liberate, he called them stupid boys, rogues, asses. He was pro-slavery. He was very prejudiced, racist. He was simply an amazing person. He was fathered a child through his maid and then accused his partner, Friedrich Engels, of being the one to do it. And Engels raised the child as his own until the day he died, he kept it a secret.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the day he died, he said, no, this was actually Marx's baby. And just to give you an idea, his father was very wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
He was perpetually broke. Two of his daughters committed suicide. A son-in-law committed suicide. 3 of his children died of malnutrition. And while his wife was out trying to find money to buy a coffin for one of his kids, he employed what one writer called a loudest, libidinous, and otherwise useless secretary because he said, a man of his stature had to keep up appearances.
That's pretty good for, you know, the father of communism, huh?
Yeah.
Keep up appearances because of his stature.
Keep up appearances.
It's really working for the common man there. And you mentioned Engels there. Could Marx have made it without Engels, do you think?
Well, no, actually. Marx ran through his father's money pretty quickly. His father was a wealthy attorney, but he died when he was 19. And Marx ran through his father's money pretty quickly, and the rest of his life he spent taking small cash donations from Engels, who was also a son of a wealthy entrepreneur. And Engels would steal money out of his father's petty cash account and send it to Marx to keep him going and pay his bills. And then the rest of the time, Marx hovered over ailing relatives, waiting for them to die so we could find out what he would get in their wills. And he would write to Engels about it. And I quote some of the letters that he wrote to Engels and his wife about all these people that were going to die and give him money. It's just stunning.
You know, you were mentioning that about hovering over them, waiting for them to die, made me think of the inheritance taxes that they're trying to bring and raise.
Oh, right. Well, but you know, see, the thing is, all that stuff, just like the COVID shot, the mandated COVID shot, it's all for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for them. You know, any more than the lockdown order by Governor Newsom in California was all for him when he had a huge Thanksgiving dinner with 20 or so people at a fancy restaurant with nobody masked while everybody else was forced to stay home. Or the governor of Virginia who ordered a lockdown and then quickly drove off to Virginia Beach to his beach house where he had a huge Thanksgiving dinner unmasked with, you know, 15 or 20 people. The rules don't apply to them. You know, Andrew McCabe, who should be in jail today for the things that he did during his time as assistant director of the FBI, He should be in jail for it. Instead, he is getting his retirement reinstated. He's being resurrected, as it will. He's having all of these things thrown out. And it's just stunning. It's all for the rest of us. It's not for them. And it's really a class of elitists who have discovered a way to insinuate themselves into positions of power and the absolute wealth that they can obtain through that power, while the rest of us doesn't matter. Well, in fact, if the rest of us complain, we can go off to the gulag. Thank you very much, comrade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, when we look at this and we see what's happening today, and I think in your book, Who Was Karl Marx, you draw a pretty good line from Marx and Engels all the way up to the present day.
Yes.
I know you mentioned a couple of individuals in there that a lot of Americans have not heard of, but nevertheless, they're highly influential. Is there a couple of them that you'd like to mention?
Sure. For example, a really good one is Willy Munzenberg. He was a communist agent of the Soviet Comintern, the Communist International. And he, unknown to most people, he was the inspiration for the Frankfurt School, the School of Social Research founded in 1923 in Frankfurt, Germany, which had to flee the intellectuals of that communist school, had to flee Germany in 1933 when Hitler came into power. They were all communists, most of them were Jewish, and they were resettled at Columbia Teachers College, where they came up with this new philosophy called critical theory. But the critical theory wasn't their idea. Marx had said before he was even born, I mean, before he even wrote, sorry, the Communist Manifesto, yeah, not before he was born, that's kind of hard. he said, the issues of the day are not our concern. And you take a double take, what do you mean? You know, I thought the Communist Manifesto was all about ushering in a world utopia. But anyway, so the issues of the day are not our concern. Our concern is a ruthless criticism of everything existing, and he meant everything existing in the West, because their goal, as they explicitly state in the Communist Manifesto, is to absolutely destroy Western society, root and branch, and to eliminate entire classes of people. So critical theory came directly from the mind of Marx, and now downstream from critical theory, we have critical race theory, critical legal theory, critical pedagogy, there's dozens of critical theories, and the whole idea is to criticize everything about Western society to demoralize us, to discredit us, to shame us, to back us into a corner, and to put us at war with each other. Mm-hmm. And so each one of these new critical theories, you know, the big one now is critical race theory,
right,
are specifically just, they're nothing more than a divide and conquer strategy. People, it drives me crazy when I hear Republicans or, you know, some people who want to engage in a lively debate with their left-wing, you know, compatriots about the pros and cons of critical race theory. What are the legitimate ideas? There is no legitimate idea. And the idea is the misdirection. The strategy is to pit us against one another on the basis of a contrived narrative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that America is incurably racist and bigoted, and the only way to do that is to basically give them the keys to the kingdom. You know, if we give up everything and give it all to them, all will be well. And of course, we know it won't be well. It'll just get worse and worse. But that's the idea. And that came from the mind of Marx. It came through Willy Munzenberg, who inspired another guy by the name of Georgi Lukacs. And Georgi Lukacs came up with the idea of corrupting culture by using sex as a weapon. He was the minister of culture in the short-lived Hungarian Soviet Republic, which lasted between March and August of 1919. And he created something that he called it cultural terrorism. And guess what it was? It was explicit sex education to children. It was a nationwide campaign urging women to leave their husbands and, you know, just go out and sow their wild oats. I mean, these were the kinds of things that were inspired by Munzenberg, who said, and this is really key, because we must organize the intellectuals and use them to make Western civilization stink. Only then, after they have corrupted all its values and made life impossible, can we impose communism. And so, and it's very important here, he says, we must organize the intellectuals. They didn't have any illusion that there was actually going to be a proletariat revolution. You know, working people have to work. And most of them have enough common sense to know that this kind of idea that is always rammed down their throat by college kids, you know, and as it was in the 1800s. I mean, Marx became radical in college, and they all did. And so they knew that the proletariat weren't going to launch this revolution. So who could they get to help them? And they said, we must organize the intellectuals. And who are the intellectuals? Well, they're the college professors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're the heads of the think tanks. They are people who are so flattered by their own opinions of their intelligence that they can easily be goaded into promoting a idea that is literally impossible to make workable. You know, that has never stopped these people with titanic pride to think that they could square that circle by making a communism that works, by making a socialism that works. And you see it over and over again when you point out to them, well, listen, it's failed in every other country where it's been tried. Well, why don't you let us give it a try?
Right, right.
Maybe they didn't get everything right. You know, we should figure this out.
Yes.
It's the same old thing. It's this absolute arrogance. And as you and I know, that arrogance comes from replacing a life of dedication to God to a life of dedication to yourself.
Exactly. And let me interpose here for just a moment. We got less than 5 minutes left in the program. I mean, it's going fast. They got a lot of good information. And I like what you said there. We see this when people replace God, it's not going to be a vacuum. Something else is going to take its place. And it's going to be the state. Yep. It's going to be some powerful individual, some despot or something like that. And I was thinking of a couple of things when you were mentioning about critical theory. You can see why the people with the progressives, the communists, the socialists want the FBI to intimidate people at school board meetings who are countering some of these things. But before we run out of time, two things I wanted to get to, and I know we just barely scratched the surface, and these are the people who are running our government today, unfortunately, but what can we do? You have something, we got about 3 minutes, you have something at the end of the book that tells us what we can do, and I like that. It doesn't leave us with just, here's the hopeless thing, cringe in the corner, but you've got ideas.
Right. Yeah. No, actually, I want to make sure that the longest chapter is the chapter on solutions. And there's, think of any different element of our current situation, and there's dozens of proposals for each. But the idea, and this really, I think, originated with Vaclav Havel, who was the first post-Soviet president of the Czech Republic. And he said, and I may be paraphrasing him, but the idea is to create a parallel society. Because, you know, the communists and the socialists have really infiltrated, and I also discussed that in the book, how that happened. And whose idea it was, and there's one chapter that I didn't mention, the most important radical that no one's ever heard of, and people have to buy the book to find out who that was. But that one chapter, the most important chapter in the book, because that one person formulated the ideas that everybody ever since has used in one way or another. But creating a parallel system, you can't fight directly. It's very difficult to fight this very deeply entrenched leftist movement that's in practically every institution of our culture. So we basically rebuild those institutions and provide much more attractive alternatives. And one of the places where that's being played out is in school boards. I mean, we are overthrowing school boards all over the nation, and you can see how effective that is by the very fact that they feel so threatened they have to use the FBI to intimidate people away from it.
Well, I hear the music there. We're going to run out of time real quick. Jim Simpson, how can people get a hold of this book and find out more?
Well, probably the easiest thing is to go to crisisnow.net. That's my website, and there's a link to the Amazon page where you can buy it. Crisisnow.net, or you can also just go to Amazon and look up Who Was Karl Marx. It is a bestseller, so it should pop up right away.
All right. Well, Jim Simpson, we're going to have to get you back sometime, talk some more about these things. I want to thank you for taking time to be with us today. I want to encourage our listeners, check this book out. There are things we can do. We're out of time today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Don't give up hope. look to Jesus.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.